You're with us for the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We're heading now to La Crosse County, where a recent uptick in cases has the county publishing a list of high-risk businesses after some customers and staff have tested positive for COVID-19. The list includes a dozen businesses, including bars. Do you live in La Crosse County? Are people socially distancing themselves? Are you a business owner in the area? Have you reopened? What safety measures do you have in place? We're at 800-642-1234. Megan Meller is an infection control specialist at Gunderson Health System in La Crosse. Megan, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Thanks for having me this morning.
Well, let's start with the numbers. The La Crosse Health Department reported 23 new cases, bringing the total to 290 yesterday. What are you seeing in the trend lines?
You know, from my perspective, we're doing a lot of reporting of these cases, you know, every day of the week, and we're seeing a huge increase in the number of cases. And what's most striking to me about this is we're seeing it among the 20 to 29-year-old population, which is pretty consistent with what's happening across the state and across the country.
So what is going on in that age range? Where do you see the spread?
We're seeing the spread primarily from people who have had exposures, like how you mentioned earlier, by going to bars, by going to beaches, by simply being out. In the beginning, they were kind of cropping up from, you know, businesses, having exposures from coworkers. And that's starting to change now more, and it's coming back to people being out and about and socializing again.
You mentioned that the latest cases are not a second wave, but rather La Crosse County is yet to peak. What are you seeing in terms of a peak? When might it come?
You know, I wish I could, you know, kind of foresee that. I think, you know, kind of, like I said, we really haven't seen, you know, this is really our first peak, and I honestly don't foresee it kind of going away until the end of summer, if that. I think we're going to kind of hit a plateau where we're going to see steady cases, and hopefully, you know, people start listening to more, you know, paying more attention to masking and social distancing, so that way we start to see a decrease, but I don't foresee that happening anytime soon.
The county released a list of businesses. I had mentioned some of the high-risk ones, but there was also medium and low-risk and the dates in which people should be aware of. Can you tell us about what has been published?
So what we know, so that those high-risk exposures are those where people are spending, you know, really close, a lot of time, you know, would say more than 15 minutes. So that's kind of what we're defining as that exposure period, is more than 15 minutes. Prolonged exposure, you know, less than 6 feet away, no masks. And that's pretty common when you're out at the bars, out at restaurants, out at the beach. The low-risk exposures are going to be more of those transients. So let's say TJ Maxx, for example, was listed as one of those exposures. We know that exposure in stores are going to be much more transient. So, you know, the interactions, especially with other people, are going to be much more shorter. And so, what, you know, I would encourage people, you know, no matter what, is to really be aware of where you're at. If you want to go out to eat at a restaurant, choose outdoor seating, because we know that fresh air is going to reduce that risk of an exposure much more than sitting indoors when you don't know what that ventilation is like.
And if you have visited an establishment that is listed in La Crosse's high-risk category during the specific time period that is published, you are asked to take an assessment, is that right?
That's right. So the La Crosse County has a form for people to fill out if they think they've met that exposure criteria. So they were in these defined areas at that time. And then what the county does is they kind of aggregate that data, they look at that, and then they refer those individuals for testing either at here or at Mayo. So we are getting those reports on a daily basis, and then we pass that on to our nurses who are running our testing center, and then they can reach out to those individuals and get them in for a test. So that way they get a result very quickly. The turnaround right now is incredibly fast.
We're talking with Megan Meller, who works at Gunderson Health System in La Crosse. She's an infection control specialist, and we're looking at COVID in La Crosse County. With your questions, 800-642-1234. Do you think the state opened too early? What are your thoughts? Have you visited any of the establishments that may have exposed people to COVID-19? What do you do if you work at these establishments? Join in at 800-642-1234. Let's bring in Ben in La Crosse. Hi, Ben.
Hi. My name is Ben, and I live in La Crosse, so I've been watching it unfold. As a family, we've been pretty much staying in lockdown because we knew that this spike was coming. But I guess what's disheartened me a lot, I work with college students. I'm the Lutheran campus pastor here in La Crosse, and I also adjunct. And I've just been seeing this community really vilify the student population, which I think is unfair for a few reasons. One, any failures that have happened in locking us down are happening at a governmental level. What do you think is going to happen when you tell a bunch of 21-year-olds they can do whatever they want? These are people literally without fully developed prefrontal cortexes. They can't make the higher level decisions that full adults do. They're at an age of their lives where their social lives are everything. And then the government rolls back every rule. The college students flood the bars and the beaches.
And Ben, I think we lost you there. Megan, can you respond to Ben in terms of, you know, zeroing in on the student population and what they may be feeling right now?
You know, I think they're feeling a sense of nostalgia. You know, I can speak for this myself. You know, I'm 29, and I miss that those interactions of going out. And I think what, you know, some of this has brought on is, you know, people, again, you know, not some, you know, they know COVID is still out. You know, they know there's the risk, but it's also summer. You know, they want to go out and about, and I can't blame them for that. And this is where I think we really need to kind of reinforce the education and give them alternatives, give them really safe alternatives. You know, we did think the beach was okay, but then you have overcrowding, which, you know, brings people closer together. You're going to start having outbreaks. And so in some ways, I do think we opened too early. I think we're looking at the cases like, oh, La Crosse is, not a hot spot. It's okay to open. We're looking at the data. And then with the reopening, it really challenged this. And so, again, I would really encourage, the 20 to 29-year-old population that it is okay to socialize, but consider limiting your social group. You know, there's this term quarantine. Limit your socialization group to a small group of people so you're limiting the exposure. Hang out outside. Try to keep that distance. There's other, there's ways that we can still socialize with our friends, with our peers, without perpetuating, increasing the amount of COVID in our communities.
As cases evolve and come up, contact tracing is the next step. How have these investigations been going, and do you see the tracing being more effective?
So without, a direct insight into what's happening within the county, we know that one of the barriers for contact tracing is honesty. I think from what I've been reading, this is a trend across the country, is that the majority of people don't tend to be as forthcoming to who their contacts were. And this is a really huge barrier. You know, this is the time for people to be honest and admit to who they contacted. Because if we can identify who they were in contact with during what we say their infectious period, we can act a lot quicker. We can reach out to those people, get them into quarantine so they're not exposing others during that symptomatic period. And we have come a long way in our ability to do that. I know the county has really beefed up their contact tracing system. And, we're doing all of this education in the hopes that, we can reach people. We can let them know, it's okay to tell us who you are with. You're not going to be punished for this. You're not going to be penalized. You're not going to be judged. This is a crucial part of public health and really kind of, bringing that curve down, getting us to a point where all of us can go out and enjoy going to restaurants again without the worry of COVID-19.
Your county has avoided COVID-related deaths to date. How do you see healthcare right now in La Crosse County?
Gunderson has been preparing for this from the beginning. I can remember back in January watching these cases creep up in China and knowing of this potential. And so La Crosse is very fortunate right now. I would say incredibly fortunate that we haven't had any COVID-19-related deaths. I think it's just a matter of time, but I know that our healthcare systems are very well prepared. We have a dedicated COVID-19 unit that we can open up at a moment's notice to take in patients. We have it, we have staff who have been trained for months who feel comfortable and confident, in the capacity to care for these patients. We have a really great dedicated team. So we're ready. We're definitely ready for COVID, for it. I still hope that we never have to use it at its full capacity, but we are prepared.
And right now, 4 people, I understand, are hospitalized. Is that about right for the count?
It is about right. So with La Crosse being a central hub for the western side of the state, we take in a lot of patients from the tri-state area. And so I think we're incredibly fortunate to serve our community in this way. So, you know, we've never been at full capacity, but we've always, you know, we're seeing these cases, you know, these COVID-19 cases starting to come in. And again, they're, you know, kind of from surrounding areas, even from our own community. But fortunately, we've been able to, you know, get them stable enough to be discharged.
And certainly COVID-19 knows no boundaries, knows no state lines. And so when you work in an area that is multiple states, that too can present some challenges, I would imagine.
Absolutely. You know, in the very beginning, we had staff kind of wondering where COVID-19 was because they weren't seeing the number of deaths in our community. They weren't seeing the number of cases. But from the infection control side, we get this really unique perspective because we're seeing all the cases that are being tested through Gunderson Health System. And we were seeing it, you know, cases from Minnesota, cases from outbreaks that were happening in Iowa. And so, like, we knew it was in the community because these individuals frequently travel up to La Crosse to, you know, to shop, to, you know, to get groceries for jobs. And so I always wanted to remind people that just because we don't have cases in La Crosse County does not mean it's in the communities we serve.
We have Megan Meller from Gunderson Health in La Crosse, where she is an infection preventionist. Are you a healthcare worker? What are you seeing in your area as far as infections? Are you concerned about a second wave of cases in the state and in your county specifically? Join in at 800-642-1234. You can email ideas at WPR.org. We'll pick this up in a minute with Megan Meller right here on the Ideas Network. It's the morning show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. We're zooming in on La Crosse County, which has seen a recent surge in COVID-19 infections. Have you visited any of the establishments that may have exposed people to COVID-19? Are you concerned about the possibility of exposure when you go out to bars or restaurants, other businesses, to do your shopping? Do you work at these places? What should people know? Still time to talk. 800-642-1234. Megan Meller works in La Crosse as an infection control specialist at Gunderson Health System, and she stays with us. Let's take another call now. Mary Kay is joining us from Kenosha. Hi, Mary Kay.
Hi. I've been in Kenosha, and I've been in Milwaukee, and I'm concerned about a few things. I have 7 points to point out for a safer opening up of Wisconsin. First of all, you wash your hands before you put your mask on. Make the masks mandatory because there's a lot of travelers in our state, okay, at all businesses and the customers. So, again, all the transportation, that's including the airports, the trains, and the buses, they have to wear a mask, okay? More forced ventilation in some buildings. Hire more cleaners. Send people home that are ill, that are at work, for chronic coughing, okay? Food vendors must wear masks and gloves because they're handling our food, unless they're already sanitizing them. We should know if they are or not.
Mary Kay, thank you so much. Megan, I want you to jump in here with the things that Mary Kay brings to the table.
Yeah, Mary Kay brings up a lot of really great points, and it's all things that we encourage, you know, not only at work, but out in the community. Hand hygiene. We know that hand hygiene works. A lot of, you know, during cold and flu season, I think one of the primary ways people get sick is they touch their T-zone, so their eyes, their nose, their mouth with dirty hands. And washing your hands before touching your face is a really good way to prevent yourself from getting sick. And that same principle applies directly to COVID-19. You know, we know it doesn't live on surfaces for an incredibly long period of time, but if someone coughs, they don't cover their cough, and it lands on the surfaces, let's say a grocery cart, and then you touch it later and then touch your face, you're directly basically inoculating yourself. So any hand hygiene, cleaning regularly high-touch surfaces is a really good way to take that risk kind of off the table. Covering your cough, staying home when you're sick. So we have a phrase at Gunderson, when is sick too sick? In this case, if you have a mild cough that's too sick, you need to be home. And so this is a good time for businesses and companies to reevaluate their sick leave policies. So it encourages people to stay home, using financial incentives even to say, you have some sick leave, please take it so you feel better. And it's also requiring people to be honest about their own symptoms. Now, we know it's allergy season, but can you differentiate an allergy from something that's coming up that seems like a cold? Be honest with yourself, be honest with your employer, because the sooner that you recognize that, the less people you expose. Masking, we know it works. We don't, with cloth coverings, we know they're not perfect. They're not designed to be perfect. They're kind of designed to be kind of the best that we can do given the shortages of surgical masks. Studies are starting to show that these face coverings prevent.
Oh, and I think we.
The droplets.
Okay, sorry. We had just dropped you there a little bit, Megan. But now you're back.
Okay.
We got you on the face coverings. You know, last week, the La Crosse Parks and Recreation decided to close its two public beaches. What do you see there in terms of these drawbacks in trying to stop people from congregating?
If you take the beaches away, you're also going to, you know, people are going to congregate elsewhere. You know, it's hard because we know that outdoors are safe. So it's finding those ways that people can still be outdoors, can get their exercise, get their fresh air, you know, socialize without getting sick. It might be that with beaches, we have to start looking at how do you limit the number of people on the beach? How do you control that so that way you don't have packed beaches? And I hope that some of these conversations are in the works with the county of, you know, what we see in stores and restaurants, limiting the occupancy is how can you control the occupancy at some of these outdoor places?
Well, let's take another call now. Joe is joining us from Reedsburg this morning. Hi, Joe.
How do you? I got a question. I keep hearing all the time about people saying, you know, were you exposed, you know, at a certain location? I understand HIPAA laws and everything where you can't say names and everything, but it seems like it's top secret. Like in Sauk County, they got, you know, we have this hundred many cases, but you have the closest you know is Sauk County. You can drive for an hour and still be in Sauk County. You have no idea. It's super secret of where these people that got sick were before they got sick when they could have been spreading it. It's like, how do you know if you were at an establishment when they don't tell what the establishments were?
Joe, thank you for that. Megan, what about transparency here as contact tracing evolves and people say where they've been?
You know, transparency is very important. And for, you know, something like COVID-19, especially within Wisconsin, it's really going to be up to the county to disclose where that exposure is happening. Now, there's defined exposures and then what we call community spread, where you can't really pinpoint. So community spread is where you can't pinpoint exactly where that individual picked it up. But the county is looking at, okay, where was that person at when they were exposed, you know, when they got sick? You know, did they have a sick contact? Where might that have happened? And that's how the county is able to narrow down on these locations. You know, they might have one or two people who got sick at that place, let's say, at a certain store, and then realize that when you start having multiple people, you know, say that that's where they were at, you can safely say, okay, we know that this was a place of exposure, and then they can publicize that. And so transparency is very important right now with the community, with each other, because that is one of the main ways that we're going to really put a halt to COVID-19 is being open with each other, being open with everyone and indicating. But again, you don't want to jump on something too quick without, you know, having the data to support the fact that that place became a hot spot for spread.
How have you seen testing evolve in your county?
We've seen it evolve dramatically. So here at Gunderson, we were working really fast behind the scenes to bring testing on site. And we were able to accomplish that within a matter of 2 to 3 weeks. And so we were starting to meet that demand. And then we then brought on another testing platform as well. So we've seen within La Crosse County, within our community, the ability to test, you know, hundreds of people. For example, the other day we tested 500 people for COVID-19. This is not just people who are having symptoms, though. We're also doing a lot of pre-procedural testing, so that way patients Gunderson patients can come in for necessary procedures to be done. But that's also important because we know COVID-19 spreads can be asymptomatic in people, can present asymptomatically. And so we're able to capture those populations too, which we would not have been able to do in the very beginning of the pandemic. And so I'm very proud of how our community has risen to the occasion to enable us to test as many people as humanly possible within a short period of time.
And I understand Gunderson is really trying to promote telehealth and to get primary care appointments done via telehealth. How is that going?
It's going really well. And what we're seeing is providers who might have been reluctant to make that transfer are now really excited about it. And, you know, I think, like, this is the future for telehealth. And I was really excited when the government kind of opened up the criteria for patients with Medicare and Medicaid to use telehealth as well. So there's no going back. And it's COVID-19 has really ushered in this new wave of medical that we can, for medical health, that we can bring in patients and we can have these interactions. Patients can still get this care without having to come into the community or without having to come into the hospital and potentially expose themselves. We've also opened up drive-up labs as well. So patients don't have to come inside a building to get a lab drawn. They can drive up in their car, be met by a nurse and get blood drawn, get whatever lab they need to be done from their car. We've also started up drive-up vaccinations as well. So that way we're getting young children in for their annual vaccine. So we're not missing that gap as well.
Megan, thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Megan Meller, an infection control specialist at Gunderson Health System in La Crosse. Just ahead, we discuss whether school resource officer programs will continue after protests against police brutality have erupted nationwide. We have the president of the Milwaukee Board of School Directors and a crime prevention specialist joining us to explain. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. This is The Morning Show, and you're listening to the Ideas Network.